Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. This is Dr. Michelle. You are with me on Dr. Michelle Live. We are walking this road together. We're putting on our warrior shoes because it's time to kind of take up some energy here and pick up the pace a bit. Broken hearts out there, lots of broken hearts, lots of people who understand what it is to mean, to have a child that has big, massive problems physically, mentally, spiritually, or let's say even addiction-wise, that's mental, I suppose. Personality-wise, anyway, they're devastated because of a breakup, or they're devastated because they're being bullied, and your heart breaks for them as much as you love them. And I think about that as far as God goes, the world goes, the universe goes, however you want to put it, whatever you're comfortable with right now. I have no problem with the word God. I think it's an amazing thing, amazing word. And I'm willing to let go of some of the pictures and some of the things, as my friend said, were shoved down their throat as far as, you know, what God is and how he is. And I'll give you a little story in a minute. But I want to, none of you are strangers to heartache. None of you have not had someone die or been rejected or given a diagnosis. A woman that I... who cuts my hair, actually, just the sweetest, beautiful, I mean, really, she looks like a model, gorgeous, young, just married, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, it's like, whoa, I'm called up to get in a, I'm grumbling because I have to go to the traffic court because I had not changed my license fast enough and from one state to another. And I'm calling as I'm waiting to get my, so I can get my hair cut, and just kind of always thinking she's always, you know, she's going to be there. I'm going to have to wait. And then she has said it was great for everyone to get the news, the information. So, and even left her her email, so that her clients can email her, and she can email back if she wants to. And it's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. But, you know, you just, boy, things you don't expect in life happen to you all the time. And they cause you to lose faith and lose hope and get demoralized and feel like an outsider in every way that you can. You feel like an outsider. Your plans for getting together with someone you love get shot out of the water, and it complicates your future, your relationship. Perhaps you were married and you come to find out that your husband or your wife has been cheating on you. It's a tough one. Someone talked to me not too long ago about a very orthodox family in a different state who was involved in a ministry that involved youth. And when the woman was concerned about her husband having an affair and how she should handle it, come to find out the man was not having an affair. The man was having intimate relations with an underage person in the youth group. That is, goes beyond. It's not that one is, you're going to say, well, therefore, if they have an affair, they're not, that's not bad. It is bad. It's betrayal. But we have become so blurred in our boundaries and our inability to see, to actually put that in context of, quote, an affair, rather than that is a child molestation, that is, a statutory rape, that is, I mean, if that were your daughter in that youth group, you would not consider that a full-fledged affair. And we started down that road as a country so long ago, I suppose, because we look at it in terms of the the person who's doing the acting out person, what are they thinking? What are they wanting? Now, on my side of the fence, I love that person. And if that person comes to me and wants to get right and get better and figure life out, okay, I'm all on board. I am on board. But I'm looking at this now from the other side. I'm looking at this from a global perspective. And the global perspective is that we tend to look at the perpetrator to try to figure out why, how, and what they're doing. And we don't give thought to the devastation that occurs in the people who trusted them, and the people who loved them, the people who believed in them. We already have enough natural disaster in our life. People getting diagnosis of cancer at a very young age. People dying when you didn't think they were going to die today. People getting all kinds of stuff. People getting in accidents. Children that you want to embrace and they're born and they only live a couple days. These are huge heartbreaks in life. And now we have Then we have the next layer of heartbreaks, and that's when one perpetrates upon another. We have our crimes, we have our infidelities, and those hurt. They hurt, and some people can get through them. Some couples can get through them. But then we have where we just blur the lines so much that we don't even know where to begin. Then we're like, well, who am I betrayed by? What am I betrayed by? How do I feel? What has it done to the devastation inside that person? This is one of, and today I'm going to talk to you about being a visionary. So this doesn't sound like I'm going there, does it? But I'm going to talk to you about being a visionary. I'm going to talk to you about what does it mean to be raised from the dead? What does it mean to be raised from the dead? To have your blindness, your eyes opened up, your throat opened up, your heart opened up. What does that mean? And how do we do it? Are we really in a battle? And if we are in a battle, how do we have fun and enjoy life? What's it about? Are we always supposed to be serious and with our eye on the enemy? Or are we supposed to open up because we have someone actually battling for us, someone under whose wings we are protected? We're going to get into that. We're going to get into resetting that button on Lent because it is never too late. And every year we get another chance anyway. And I don't mean that to say blow it off. But it's a good time to reset. Doesn't mean that everything you've been doing is wasted, but it means let's go deeper. Let's go just a little bit deeper. Why not? Why not? So when we talk about going back, we go back to the beginning. We go back to origins. Jesus talked a lot about going back. We need to go back to reset, go back to Jerusalem, back to Judea, to reset our buttons, to reset their buttons. He goes out to the desert to reset his buttons, to see where his origins are. And and to prepare for what's ahead. Now he knows what's ahead. He's predicted what's ahead, but no one around him really knows. They got to go through it as they're going through it. And they do what people do. They get scared. They go to sleep. They avoid, they act out, they run away, they come back. They do all kinds of stuff, and some of them kill him. Some of them do dastardly things, things that are irreparable in the human realm. But with forgiveness, nothing's irreparable. We can't go back and relive those days of happiness, relive those days before you fall, before that man who decided to keep going in that relationship with a teenager, and what that would do to her life, and what that does to his wife's life, and what that does to his kid's life. It's not just about him and his brokenness. As he's breaking everything around him. It's an earthquake. It's not just one little thing that's broken. Because we tend to be so short-sighted. We tend to have our eye only on one thing at a time. So we have compassion and feelings and or anger or whatever it is toward that one person. Or we're proud of them for coming out, or we're proud of them for admitting that they have had an addiction problem. At the same time, what the heck? There's no avenue if you're the one who is the mother of that little girl, or is that little girl, or is the wife of the guy, or the kids of the guy? Where do you go with that? It will leave, it starts the little ball rolling of what is a man? What is a woman? What am I? Who am I? What have I been? What can I believe in? It starts the ball rolling in a different direction. It's the ethereal spirit ball. Like if you have an object in space hurling through space and there's nothing else to act on it, it's going to keep going in a straight line until it goes into the orbit of something that has some pull and some gravity. So what's that orbit going to be? If you let go of those in your orbit because you decide you just need to be whatever, and you do not resist. We don't know how to resist anymore. I don't know how to resist little things sometimes. I think, okay, today, yeah, I've been kind of doing too much sitting, too much writing, and I'm eating maybe a little too much and uncomfortable. Let's put it that way. I'm not moving as good as I should be moving as far as in life, healthy-wise. But it's like, oh, I don't want to resist this. Then we laugh. Oh, we just can't. Nobody can resist temptation because it's not temptation anymore. So Lent is a time to say, wait a minute, back up, guys. There is temptation. It's called the temptation of Christ. There is temptation. There's always been temptation. You don't have to go to the Bible to find it and stories about what happens. Look at H.G. Wells. Look at all the science fiction writers, religious or otherwise, who talk about the battles of good and evil, who talk about what happens to a society that goes awry. 1984. I mean, all these stories, we don't even know or care sometimes whether the author has any particular religious belief. There are just some factual things in life we need to grapple with. Well, we'll talk about some of those when we come back, and we'll also talk about being a visionary and resurrection from the dead and your own heart and your own broken heart and how that can heal. On the other side of the break, this is Dr. Michelle.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. If you have a comment, advice for the person who has been in that particular situation or others like them, your own personal experience with heartache, betrayal, no matter what it is, has your body betrayed you? Has your, has life betrayed you in some way? A way that hurts, a way that feels so unfair or feels so isolated and like no one else is around. If that has happened, give me a call, 573-4BREAD-4. You can also text that same number, and you can email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. And you can always get the app from iTunes, which is great. And you can look at and listen to podcasts, previous podcasts, today's podcast. That's the way we roll. So we're talking before the break about specific situations and going along the theme of how do you become victorious? How do you use the visionary capabilities that you have, that you actually, you have them. You have them. Some of us have them more or less, but you have them. And like anything, you can enhance your abilities. And one way to do that, how do you enhance your ability? If you have a job, or you're now a parent and you're a stay-at-home mom, or you've had to, you have some skill or some craft or some profession, in order to become better at it, you have to focus on it. And you have to let the other distractors of the world fall by the wayside for a little while. Now, when we're really young, and we want to draw a picture. Remember that? Think about it for just 1 second, or watch your child draw a picture. It's like there's nothing else in the world but drawing that picture. And every concentration, you can just conjure in your mind right now, little kid with those little tiny fingers and a crayon or a marker or a pen or a pencil and or paintbrush, and look at them with their other arm holding that paper down and their little tongue like between their teeth half sticking out, and that look of abject concentration. When was the last time you had that? When was the last time that was pure? So think about that for a minute. Let that roll around inside you as we go on. And we talk about this Lenten walk, and we talk about the road ahead, and we talk about a need for our warrior shoes. And what do you do when you're in impossible situations? Well, what you do is you deal with it at the time the way you do. We all think we can prepare for something, but when that person takes their last breath, when that other person walks out on you, when your son goes back into addiction, let's say, or your daughter, whatever happens, the unexpected happens, you react because you have adrenaline and you might freak out and scream and cry for a second, but we are allowed that moment of regrouping. It's like waking up after you've been hit by a car. For a minute, you're just kind of there. And then when you start feeling the pain, it hurts. And you do what all beings do, all human, finite, corporal beings do. When they are hurt, they cry out. They're not seeing things clearly. And they just need some relief. It's what we are. That's what bodies do. All bodies will do that. Try to get away from that pain as soon as possible. And sometimes we do that by numbing out. Sometimes we do that by lashing out. Sometimes we do that by hurting ourselves. Sometimes we do that in all different ways. But after we get a breath, we have a moment where we can start down the road. Now, we can go back to those actions, certainly. But we can have the choice of going down the road of looking up. And as I said yesterday, sometimes just waking up, even though you don't feel it, and your first thought is of the negative thing that's occurred to you, push it out of the way for just a second, because you can come back to it, and just say, praise God. I praise you, God, for everything that's gone on in my life. I praise your name. That's it. You don't have to feel enraptured or in love or in peace. You just say that name. Please be with me. Help me through this. And as you get on and on and on, you can enlist your favorite saints, you can enlist new saints, you can enlist your angels, because they're there. We may have made them into cartoons in our culture, but they're there. Just as sure as all the little beta rays and gamma rays and this ray and that ray that we can't see but are constantly bombarding us and affecting our bodies and ourselves, they're there too. So, when you need to reset your button, when you say, no, my life is falling apart, or everything I knew is just gone, well, you can focus first as much as you can on the fact that there is a God. That helps. There's studies out there galore that show that people who have a belief, a faith base in something bigger than themselves, they do not have to necessarily belong to a church. They fare better. They just do. Chemical reactions happen in your body, just like they do in your child if you're there. When mom's there, that child gets better. It doesn't hurt so bad. The old adage everyone knows of kissing that little cut and making it better, and they feel better. Why do they feel better? Still a cut, it still hurts. If you ever had a paper cut, it's hard to say that having someone kiss it's going to make it feel better when you're an adult. But when you're little, it does. Be as little children. So what does it mean to be a visionary? Well, you are a visionary. You have the capability of being a visionary. You may not be the visionary of all visionaries. You may not be Teresa of Avila. Maybe you are your own Teresa of Avila. But you have that capability. And part of that is if you have the ability to look beyond the surface of things and see things from a bigger picture, you're a visionary. So utilize that before you act on anything. Remember to pay attention to what you see underneath the surface. That's what we call like red flags even. Maybe we didn't see them, but now look underneath the surface. We'll take for an example that person who had an affair with someone from the youth group, not an affair, who I would guess statutory rape. I don't know what to call it, but it was not an affair. An affair implies two adults and one of them being married or both of them being married, but it does not imply that someone is a teenager. So, and I'm not talking about someone who's 19 and the guy's 21. I'm not talking about that. That's a little close in age. We're talking about there's no question in this situation. It's basically child molestation is what it is. So if you look at that, now, in an ideal world, that disordered man, because he is disordered completely, that disordered man would look beyond the surface and see the human beings involved, including himself, but see the damage that could incur to that girl, see the damage that would incur to his wife, see the damage that would incur to his children who are the same age, to the damage to the entire youth group, to all the boys and all the men around him, and the fear that it would strike in all the wives and all the mothers. Well, if it happened to her, well, did it happen to my daughter? Look at all the conversations that might have to happen. Really, really tough stuff. Now, if everything were wonderful, that man would have done that. Now, many of us, most of us, don't ever do that. That's why we make mistakes. That's why we sin. And that's why we need to be forgiven. We don't look beyond the surface. We see the surface and we act. But it's like one of those cartoons where they see the surface of a pool and the character goes way up on the high dive and dives down, and it's just a little thin mirage and he crashes into the ground. But if we look beyond the surface, that's being a vision, that's using our visionary capabilities. And if we're able to see the big picture, we are using our visionary capabilities. Look beyond the surface, see the big picture. Seeing the big picture means you're able to see the future. You're able to accurately see the future. That man could have utilized his visionary capabilities given by God and predicted the future. Simple. You can. Older man, teenage girl, youth group. I mean, really, we can. I don't think there's too many people that would have a different ending to this story. And be able to say, okay, now let's talk about the wife. Let's talk about the other kids. Let's talk about the women in the group. Let's talk about the other men whose kids are there. What are they going to feel about their own kids and their own daughters? Is that going to shake up? Is that going to eliminate a youth group? Is that going to change the face of any youth group that comes around in that church from now on? Maybe they'll get more rules, but maybe they'll have to decrease a lot of activities. Now I'm going to take it out of that realm and put it into a different realm. And I'll do that on the other side of the break. This is Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle live. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, and you can text 573-4-BREAD-4. Just text your thoughts, your experiences. So it's utilizing that one specific personal, it wasn't personal to me, but it was personal to someone else and a whole group of people, that situation that we were referring to before the break and in the first segment, and I was going to liken it to something else. So when you act, even in a way that is in a self-serving way, it instills fear in people, and it also will change the face. Now, sometimes things need to be changed. Sometimes you need to tighten up on rules. Sometimes you need to tighten up on situations. Sometimes you can be too Pollyanna and too cavalier and too loose, but it's worse and worse and worse. So let's take a little situation. There was a time in this country where in every park, whether it's a city park, I can't say every park. So I love these big words, every, always. So I don't always mean that. So that it's every single park. But in most parks that I've heard about, I've lived in many states myself, but there was a time in this country where you look back and you see like pictures from the days of old in a particular city, and there are people going to the parks and they're dressed in dresses, the dress of the 1800s or the early 1900s or the middle 1900s. And you see people on horseback, you see people on little boats, on little lakes, you see people doing all kinds of things. Well, where are they now? Where are those little boats for the general public? Where are the bicycle rentals for the general public? They're still out there a little bit. Where are the canoes that you could just take out for half a day? Where are those things? Well, they do exist, but they've tightened up quite a bit. You don't have them in your public. It takes too much money to keep them up, but you have to have a ton of liability. And the liability gets to be too strong, and then pretty soon you don't have that outlet for people anymore. And then they have to shrink. Everything shrinks. They shrink back. It's like everything starts to dry up, and they're not out there interacting, communicating, enjoying. They have to keep retreating, retreat, retreat, retreat into fear, into fear, into fear and isolation, to where you're out in your little neighborhood, and that's it. And then after that, sometimes something occurs in the neighborhood, and you're just stuck in your backyard. So we really have shrunk. We've really given up something, because we don't take into account the big picture. We may see the problem and focus on the problem. We don't see the big picture. Now, where are we going with all this? Well, we talk about Lent. Lent is a time when we can focus on little problems, but it gives us an opportunity to see the big picture. Because we talked about in the early parts of this program, when you're little and you focus on that one painting and you focus and you focus and you focus, nothing else is in your vision. And you just do the best you can. And to you, you're creating a masterpiece when you're five. Now, you can't even hardly throw something in a microwave that's already prepackaged for you because it's taking too long. I've actually burned things in the microwave before. So it's like we need to be able to, in Lent, it's a time to simplify a bit, to get rid of the extraneous. Not just so that we can lose some weight, not just so that we can say we gave up something that tastes good to our taste buds, but so that we nurture and grow the insides of us, that we see the parts that are painful. We see the parts that, when they say line with the cross, not only Jesus suffered, but our part in that, our part in the suffering of the world. He cried for the world. He forgave the world, because the world, of which I am part and you are part, the world hurts each other, hurts the human being that only wants to be loved, only wants to give love. Now, he was perfect. He was God. You know, he was perfect love. He was without sin. So that's, you know, but his humanity was not a metaphor. I always say he never pulled the God card. It's a mystery. He was fully man and fully God. So however that works, I don't know, but I trust it. I believe it. Because there's nowhere in there where he doesn't act without love that I've ever seen. No matter who detracts or how they might say he was insane, there is never, just a person, there's not any place in there where he acts without love that has been recorded. So I think it's really important to see that when we align ourselves with the cross, we are doing both and. We align ourselves with our sinful nature and realize that we do that on a daily basis. This man I told you about early on, in his own way, he did that in his actions. He condemned a lot of people to a lot of confusion and a lot of destruction in their lives. Now, we'd all do that. But we take it so cavalierly now. When we do things, now there are situations, and even Christ had talked about the situations. I mean, if you're in abuse and you are, you don't just sit there and allow yourself to be nailed to a cross day after day after day after day by someone else who wants to do you harm. No, you got to get out of the way. He took stones from people who were going to stone other people and said, you know, hey, no, don't do that. And he told the person to go. He didn't say, you know, let's just stay there and suffer. So I'm not talking about you who are abused, you who are in an intolerable situation, you who have lost yourself completely. That's a different ballgame. We're looking at ourselves now internally, what it means to be able to be our own visionaries, what it means to allow him to raise us. Day by day, hour by hour, not just on the last day, but raise us internally from the dead, from being blind, from being, you know, that little girl, I guess it was a centurion or definitely was a pagan who, because he was a Roman something, I think it was a centurion, whose daughter was dead. And he said, no, she's only sleeping. Well, he woke her up from her sleep. So what's it going to take to wake you up from your sleep, to raise your heart from the dead, to cure your sickness and calm your storms? Well, part of it's that personal saying, take a few things out of your life. Align yourself with this journey. And don't predict so many things while you're sitting in your living room. Don't predict all the outcomes, but be aware. Keep your eyes open. Follow your gut. Follow what God is telling you. And act in a way that you know you need to act. Now, how do we do that? Well, one of the ways that we do that is that we realize on our better days, when we're not in the middle of the battle, actually duking it out in our own emotional way, we want to reset our buttons. We want to see that we do have an attention deficit of the spirit oftentimes, that the second we get a revelation, let's say we're sitting quietly or we're in mass or in church or whatever we do, and we get a little revelation and within a split second it's gone. Well, we're not supposed to hang on to those things, but we're supposed to let them accumulate, just like rays of sunshine. You don't hang on to it. You just don't keep your arm out there until it burns up. You get what it needs to give you and you move on. And it gives you the vitamin D that you need for the rest of the week, for the rest of the month. You need to find your ways to get through and the ways that you can get through. You allow God to reveal himself to you, and you have to ask yourself, how do I do that? How do I allow him? Do I allow him to speak to me? Do I fill my head up with so much stuff that he can't break through? He can't whisper. Do I blind myself so much to my family that I actually think it's okay to go to a teenager in the youth group as that man did. However that happens, now we all sin, yes. We all have problems. We all, and as I said, on the other side of the table, I would at once be 100% with that person if they were coming to me for help, because they are human beings and things happen and people do things that really cause, you know, they cause devastation. But when your heart says, look what I've done, I don't ever want to do this again, how can I go on? Well, then we help each other. We help each other. All right. So when we look at the fact that we all have, that you are in a situation right now where you are feeling either numbed out, burned out, don't care, or disgusted with yourself because you can't stick to something, sit back, take a breath, take a God's eye view, realize I can be cured, I can see, I can be awakened, I can be raised, I know I can. And be confident in that. When we come back from the other side of the break for our last segment, we're going to talk about some very practical ways to start the journey. All right, this is Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4, text or call. DM live at breadboxmedia.com is my email address. You can email me anytime. You certainly can call or text during our live broadcast, which is right now, 9 Pacific time or 12 Eastern time. You can look at our old podcast, get the iTunes app. It's all good. So, now, let's focus a little bit on what we can do. Well, we put on our warrior shoes, as I said before, and we start kind of reassessing ourselves. Over the break, I was talking to our producer, Lennon, who is a young man, 19. So, and he was talking about looking at himself before and seeing all the little, like years ago on his social media, and seeing that when he heard himself and saw himself, he looks back and see, and he's kind of annoyed at seeing that he was kind of whiny and kind of, he was repositioning himself. His perspective on himself had changed some. And he said, you know, in a way it's kind of good because I look back at myself and I can see how much I've changed. Well, see, awesome. Now, that's a great thing for all of us to think about and to look at and think about where you have been and look at how much you've gained, how much you have changed, even if it's just to go back and say, man, I was short-sighted back then, or man, you know, that's how we go. Instead of having regret, it's the flip side of regret. We can look back and go, oh my gosh, I was so stupid. I was so annoying. I was so ridiculous. I was so mean. I was so whatever. And then just keep beating ourselves up for that. And then as older adults, we seem to define ourselves like that all the time. Well, I'm just this person. I'm just a depressed person. I'm a that person. But no, I think that's a great way of looking at things. You go, you look back and think, you know, at least me being able, this is what he said, me being able to see that I was annoying, that he was annoying himself, to be able to see that means that I must be different. And it's like, well, yeah, ding, ding, there you go. Sure. Perfect. Makes perfect sense. To hear it said that way puts an instant perspective on things. If you're able to go, wow, that wasn't so cool, you can see it, because chances are you didn't see it then, right? All of you listening didn't go and do these things you regret on purpose. You just didn't. Most of this, if you really intended it and you really were proud of what you did, you wouldn't have regret. So what are we going to do? We're going to, one, admit that freedom is important to us. Doesn't that feel good when you say that? Freedom is important to me, real freedom. And where do you feel it? Don't look outside, because, you know, then you just get your mind twisted around thinking, oh my gosh, well, freedom in our country, and that's our big deal, is freedom, 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 and I don't feel very free. Everywhere I look, I've got this regulation, that regulation, this tax. I mean, we made this country because of all the terrible taxes and religious persecution, and I'm thinking it's looking kind of like that right now. So, but whatever. But it's the internal freedom. It's a drive of the human to be free. Why do we love the birds? Why do we want to fly? What was our deal with the? It's the freedom. Get it out of the chains. Get out of the bonds. And we look to God oftentimes to fill us, because in this Lenten season, we can look and say, Jesus, who looked like the most bound person in the world, became the most free. Isn't that something? The most free. The most free. Every single thing was against him. Everything. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was maligned. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was stabbed. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was humiliated. He had to walk with this huge, giant thing, carrying this huge, huge physical burden and emotional burden. He had to watch all the people who loved him crying or running away. He had to go through, he was so disfigured, he couldn't even, I mean, he was just disfigured. That means disfigure. That means you can't tell who the person is. And he even thought, oh my gosh, why have you forsaken me? But he was free. And he's teaching us that we're free inside of ourselves. So admit that freedom is important to you. I want to be free. I want my heart to be free. I want my soul to be free. I want my mind to be free. I want that. Now, we're human, okay? So we're putting that on the table right there. But freedom is important. So give yourself a little space. Give yourself space in all those around you, between you and the other person, because you're not that other person. You're not your neighbor. You're not your husband. You're not your kids. You're you. And realize that you are strong and courageous, even if you think, I haven't done one courageous thing in my entire life. Your seekingness is adventuresome. Your seekingness is exploration. Your desire to seek, to know, to love is adventurous, an exploration. It's an exploration. It is courageous in and of itself, even if you're the only one that is experiencing it. And if you've acted like a coward throughout your life, well, if you're listening to this and you don't want to be that, it's courageous to try and not to be that. So you look at yourself in that respect. You give yourself that space. You realize that the Creator is blessing you by allowing you the insight, by making you a visionary, even if it's only into your own self. That the messenger from the Holy Spirit, whoever that messenger is, working through people, places, things, that messenger, your own guardian angels, the other angels, always like, go over here, look over here, go over here. Once you begin down that path, you are opening up to a road of freedom. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt along the way, because it does. But you can also then begin to gently become more spiritually focused, and so that attention deficit of the spirit isn't so instantaneous. You have a little bit more focus, a little bit more of that little child drawing that picture with his little tongue sticking out and that concentration. But it's all in how will you allow God to reveal himself to you. If a person comes up to you and just makes you feel uplifted for a second, a stranger, that's God working through them. Let him talk to you about that. If it's about Job 12:7, ask the animals, ask the earth, they'll tell you, because they witness everything that God is. His extreme mercy, his order, everything is right there in front of you, if that's how you will allow him to reveal himself to you. So know that when you look now today, and we'll talk a little tomorrow about this, when you want to reset your button, focus on the problem a little bit. What's wrong with where you are right now? What don't you like? Why do you need to start over? Maybe you need to go a little deeper. Maybe you need to go a little bit more honest. Maybe you need a little bit more true. Maybe you need to be a little bit more committed. Maybe you need to admit to yourself and see that there is fear, lots of fear there. There is anger. There is resentment, bitterness. No matter who you are, that maybe you're seeking justice. Maybe you don't care anymore, and so you don't care who you hurt. Maybe you're just being impatient. Maybe you give into your impulses too much and you hate yourself, so relieving that hatred is giving into more impulses. If you just see that and you can check that a little bit, check it. We gave you some things yesterday to help check you when you wake up, to check that first thing as I praise your name. You're starting the day with praising the name, but also that little body check, that little mind check. And to get up and make a commitment as best you can so that you resist the insecurities, you resist the fantasy worlds, you resist that. You take that moment, you ask for a breathing space in between the time that you have that impulsive thought or action or instinct that will eventually harm. You ask to be lifted up and look as use your visionary self and see the problem, focus on it. I want this now. Then pull back and look at the bigger picture. But if I do this, the devastation will begin. If I pull this little part out of the puzzle, everything will fall down. I have to choose not to, no matter how much I want to pull that piece out. I have to choose not to. And I promise you, you will end up where it will lose its glow. It will lose its satisfaction. But there are ways you have to deal with that. So we all get pulled in as soon as we stop listening to this and we park our cars and we walk in and we see the latest tiny, tiny waist and the latest perfect body and the latest perfect relationship and how everyone was just waiting for true love. And yes, they had 1,000 divorces in their celebrity world and now they found true love finally. And aren't we all celebrating it? And boy, we're so proud of them. And then, you know, we just know that in a month it's going to be different. But those are our temptations. It doesn't mean you don't look at it and maybe have a little fun with it. But get to know you. Get to know you. So this is Dr. Michelle. We're going to be looking at this for the rest of the week. We are walking into yet another week of Lent. It's never too late to reset those buttons. Please email me at DMLive@breadboxmedia.com. We will see you tomorrow. God bless till then.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.